Good morning. 6:30 a.m. on March 1. It's another chilly morning. It's not quite as cold as it was yesterday, although 34 degrees and it feels quite chilly. My feet hurt. Well, no, more precisely, my calves hurt from all the walking that I did yesterday at the science fair. The science fair itself was pretty good. I've had years where I walked away from the science fair wondering if there was a prayer, that there was any chance that we might actually have decent science programs. There's some really interesting pieces. The group that I judged, which was energy and transportation, the winning project that my group picked was a kid who did a very simple project exceptionally well. He was a skateboard fan, and he was testing different skateboard designs for speed. And he found that one particular design actually went faster. And we went at him on his method, we went at him on his data, we went at him on his procedures, and it was wonderful. It was staggeringly good. He exactly nailed what we were looking for in terms of scientific thought, creativity, thoroughness, his skill. It was a very simple project that was executed very well. And I can't tell you the number of times where people who have had very complex, very fancy boards, the display boards, I can't tell you the number of times that those people fell down because they didn't really understand the science behind it. This kid did. It was pretty cool. I was very impressed. There was a girl who did a project in environmental science on the various chemicals, household chemicals that get into water sometimes, and their effect of on hydras. Now, apparently, she bought a few hydras and put them in an aquarium and then tested them against various household chemicals, including gasoline. And the one in the gasoline actually grew best, which was a bit of a shocker for everyone involved. She's not exactly sure why. And she didn't replicate, of course, because she only had so many hydras to begin with. So I thought it was interesting. There were a lot of kids with wind turbines. Yeah, I understand wind turbines. You know, they're kind of cool, kind of interesting. But for the most part, very few of them really understood how they work. You know, I asked one kid why the shorter blade spun faster. Which, of course, is what he said, but unfortunately, it's also not true. Because it did actually, while it did do a smaller number of revolutions per minute, the actual tip speed, which is really what controls power generation, along with swept area, he didn't really understand that having a short blade doesn't generate more power. It just needs more wind. So there's a lot of, I don't really understand this, but it sounded good, so I put the project together. There are a couple of people who I think really did understand their science, but they really didn't tell the judges. What they told the judges was all the spiffy and not really all the science. The data reviews were sometimes a bit stultifying, so even adults don't. Even kids learn this early, how to bore people with data. It was an interesting experience, as always. And I had a really good time talking with the kids and handing out a few prizes. There were a couple of projects that I saw that tried to compare water power and wind power. And the interesting one didn't go on output, but on relative efficiency, which I thought was pretty interesting, and made the two comparisons based on the amount of energy in versus the amount of energy out. And unfortunately, while she used the same generating tools to measure the energy coming out, and she used a similar baseline going in, there's some problems with the implementations that I'm not sure were pretty valid. But it was still an interesting project. She put a water wheel in a bucket, and then used a pump in the bottom of the bucket to generate the water flow. Which I thought was quite ingenious. I also suspect it came from some magazine somewhere, some little book of science projects. So it was cool. It was interesting to see what some of the kids came up with on their own. Some of them were really just hacked together, and some of those were pretty interesting. There's a couple of kids who relied overly much on technology, the wow of the technology that they used to do their project, or the wow of the presentation for what otherwise might have been a relatively shallow project. All in all, it wasn't terrible. Actually, it was a lot of fun. I shouldn't say it wasn't terrible. That leaves the wrong impression. I had a great time, and I met a lot of great kids, and I walked my feet off back and forth between the various displays. I got there at about 8:40 in the morning and left it right at 3 o'clock in order to go pick up kids from school. So it was a long day and mostly on my feet. It was also interesting to talk to some of the other adults about the projects, the co-judges. So as we came down to the ideas about who we thought had the best projects and why. And I was gratified that a lot of them, and many of them, gave very high marks for creativity. So people who did off the wall projects, who did oddball stuff, like the girl with the hydras and the kid with the skateboards, those people got good marks. There's another kid who was looking to answer the question, which of the four major synthetic motor oils actually lubricates best? And he came up with a very simple slide where he would put a 20-gram cylindrical weight at the top of the slide and slide it down and then time it. Now, his findings were a bit off in that he's using a manual stopwatch, and that's very difficult on a very short track. And I'm not 100% convinced that what he found was a statistically significant difference across the four oils. But he had a very clear question that he wanted to ask, which one of these makes it slipperiest. And he had a really good way of approaching it with hot oil, cold oil, and room temperature oil. So each of the oils he heated and chilled and tested in each circumstance. So it was quite an interestingly done, and I think he got a placement in energy and transport, I think. Maybe it was environmental. I'm not sure. They kind of all blend together. It was a huge, huge conference fair. They usually they fill the ballroom, and maybe there's a few on the outside. This year, they had the whole ground floor of the UC almost. It was staggering. It looked like it might be twice as big as last year, with 200 and 250 something projects. There were 40, 49, 53. It was a huge number, like 50, right around 50 projects that were physics projects. And there were 21 environmental and another 25 or 30 animal science. There was one girl who had a what looked like it might be a really interesting project on vermiculture and using worms to compost food. I thought it was pretty cool. There was another one about the denitrifying bacteria in water and how that one of the ways to treat water that has been polluted with excess nitrates is to feed those bacteria sugar to give them a carbon source to help them turn the nitrogen in the water into nitrogen gas so that it can escape, helping to clean up the condition of the water by feeding the bacteria that are naturally occurring in it. So I thought it was a pretty interesting idea. And if I thought that she had really done that project, I might have actually given her better credit. But while she did seem to understand the chemistry involved, she also talked, you know, a kid, when you got them up against the wall and they start telling a story and they talk real fast so that you don't get too bogged down in the details and you don't think that, you know, they don't have any reason to suggest that whatever they're saying isn't exactly the truth, because they talk real fast in order to get through it, in order to tell you what they need you to know and want you to believe. And rightly or wrongly, four of us all thought this girl fell into that category. In part because it was highly complex and very, it was a very deep project. And compared to what everybody else in the science fair was doing, everybody else who understood what goes going on, at least as nearly as we could tell, had very, they were very calm, they were very collected, and maybe she was just nervous. She got something, I forget now what, but I don't think she placed. It was an interesting project. I didn't see enough of the physics projects to really say if any of them were any good or not. One kid had a wave generator. It was a high school kid who had an atmospheric model. And she knew her stuff. She really did. In terms of modeling, I've done some atmospheric modeling, so I know exactly what it was that she was talking about. The people who were with me, of course, had never done any kind of atmospheric modeling, and so I'm not sure that they really appreciated what she'd managed to accomplish in a year or two. So she's going to be one to watch, I think. I don't know if she won for seniors or not. She had one of these very spiffy, glossy, big board presentations, and it was real glossy. It was also had too many words on it, so it was impossible to actually follow what was going on. And the pictures were really small, which was unfortunate because the pictures were really what were significant. Particularly when she started talking about center model and sea model, when talking about atmospheric propagation of data across cells, and in the model, that's one of the things that you have to worry about is how data get propagated from one cell to the next based on the different forces. So from that standpoint, she'd done really a remarkable piece of work. But again, it was one of these, okay, yeah, she implemented this idea, but I don't know. I was very curious. It wasn't one that I judged directly, so it wasn't one that I spent a lot of time thinking about. But there were some really cool stuff. It was a pair of kids who measured ozone highs and lows around the world. And their criteria for selection of sites have to do with, there's a network of ozone detectors around the world, and they upload ozone levels every 15 minutes to a centralized website. And they picked national parks, one in Costa Rica, one in here, Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado, and one in Poland. And they picked the one in Poland because it was upslope. And then the park that they was doing the measuring was upslope from a major coal-fired city, Krakow, Poland. Now the problem is that it isn't the influence of ozone is not whether or not there's ozone production downslope. The problem is whether or not it's upwind. And they had no idea which direction the forest was from the city. Now here in Colorado, Rocky Mountain National Park is not only upslope, it's upwind. So it wasn't too terribly surprising that the numbers weren't too terribly large for Rocky Mountain National Park, in spite of the fact that we have people driving through it with automobiles all the time. So there were some serious problems with their whole methodology, because they really didn't seem to understand the nature of ozone dispersion and how atmospheric and climatological considerations have more impact than, say, whether or not they're at altitude. So I thought it was pretty interesting. They had some good ideas that were not thought out very well. And that seemed to be the majority of the projects were kind of cool ideas that weren't thought out very well. Now, if anybody's thinking of entering a science fair next year, here's the tips. Don't do wind turbines. Number one, you don't have the engineering necessary to make it fly. Number two, the kinds of wind turbines that you're generating are not the same kind of wind turbines that they use to create the air, to create the airflows that are used in large installations. I will say that the kid who had the counter-rotating turbines, he did a pretty good job. And he had some really interesting ideas about how to increase efficiency. But he wasn't really looking at power generation. He was looking at cost. And so what he found was that while the second turbine didn't add a lot in terms of, well, it added a significant amount. It wasn't double. It was only about 85% of the first turbine. But what it gained was that 85% of increased production with only about a 10% increase in cost. Because the biggest cost was the ground. 30-something percent, and the rest was, you know, like the tower, which is another 30%. And so the biggest expense was sunk when you put the first turbine up there, and the second turbine is, for most part, gravy when it comes to energy production. So the cost per kilowatt hour was considerably smaller, almost half of what the cost per kilowatt hour was for a single turbine. Now that kid had an interesting approach, and I really did appreciate the fact that he didn't try to bullshit me with, you know, the length of the blade or the weight of the blade or anything like that. He understood what he was talking about, and it was clear that he understood what he was talking about. So that was a pretty interesting one too. Ah. But yeah, other than that, the wing, you know, the shape of the airfoil, the shape of the blade, the length of the blade, the angle of attack. Angle of attack is interesting, but it's really what depends a lot on the airfoil. And if you don't have a real airfoil that uses the air passing across the blade as lift, and instead are relying on the pressure of the blade against the flat, and you're not working at a very effective rate to begin with. So, I mean, the whole thing was just, you know, this is not how turbines work. And continuing to foster this idea by using these projects about angle of attack and the rest is amusing. It's a project that you can do, but it's a project that really doesn't have a lot of significance. And without the math and engineering behind it, it's not one a kid can do too well. Unless they come up with some interesting approach, like the questions of efficiency or the questions of cost per kilowatt hour, which I thought were both very good approaches to what was otherwise a completely uncreative category of project. So there, my recap of the science fair. I didn't really think I was going to talk about the science fair all day because there's so much other interesting stuff happening, like the Seth Godin kerfuffle. And his book has been pulled from Amazon shelves because it has, from Apple iBook store, because it has a link to Amazon in it. It won't allow it. Anyway, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. I'll talk to you then.